Well, this is the sixth and final week of our class on the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about what it means to live life with the Spirit. So we've talked about God's desire to be with his people, the presence of God. We've talked about the empowerment that God's desire was to partner with us in order to see his will accomplished. We spent a couple weeks on speaking in tongues, what that means and the purpose behind it. And now I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in our daily life. And so I've called this life in the overflow, because I think that's what God wants us to be in. God wants us to be in this blessed life, this abundant life that he has for us. And so baptism in the Holy Spirit then is kind of the doorway by which we enter into all that God has for us, by which we're able to see God moving in us. Now, like we've talked about before, this doesn't mean that God's sanctifying process, that his salvation, that his ministry even can't happen for people that haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I think that there's enough scriptural evidence that says that this is something that God wants us to experience, that we're going to talk about it. And really, I think one of the key words that we focused on during this study is this idea that this should be the normative experience for people that are walking in the Spirit. And so that's, I think, where God wants us to get to. Now, I'm not there. I don't know if any of us are, but it's God's desire, and we're gonna look through a bunch of different scriptures today that will show us that God wants us to live life and God wants us to have life and to have it to the full, like he says in John 10:10. So again, Spirit baptism isn't the destination, it's the doorway into the blessed life. We were never supposed to stop at the experience. We don't seek after. In fact, when I teach people on the baptism in the Spirit, I will often say that when you're seeking the Holy Spirit, don't seek after the gift, seek after the gift giver. And when you're seeking after the gift giver, then he's got something that he wants to give to you. So we seek God, we spend time with God, we're open to receiving the Spirit, but we allow him to give it to us in his time. And then when we do, we see that we step through that doorway into a life of supernatural impact. It's not about a feeling. It's about accessing the power of God in our daily lives. And so this is what God wants for us. We see this in the early church in the book of Acts. There are multiple instances, multiple times where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts chapter 4, there is a meeting. Peter and John are called before the Sanhedrin. They're being challenged because they healed somebody, and they're being told, hey, don't talk anymore about God. Don't talk anymore about Jesus. This is where Peter says, hey, judge for yourself whether it's better to follow man or to follow God. But as for me, I can't help but speak of the things that I've seen and that I've heard. And Acts 4:8 records that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he speaks to the Sanhedrin. And then later on in verse 31, they finally get released. They get sent back. They're warned, don't speak anymore about Jesus. They go back. They have a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting, they don't ask God protect us. They don't ask God keep us safe. Instead, they say, God, give us the boldness to continue to speak your word in spite of the threats, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the persecutions, because we believe that this is what God wants for us. In Acts chapter 2, of course, when the Holy Spirit is first poured out, it's to give that empowerment in order to do the ministry, in order to shine God's light, and they hear people speaking in tongues, and there's just this amazing outpouring of the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 8 follows the first martyrdom, the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and there's this spreading of the believers for a while, they were kind of all confined to Jerusalem because God was doing such amazing stuff that nobody wanted to leave Jerusalem. But when Stephen was martyred, a bunch of them said, hey, we got to get out of here. We're going to go. And so they scattered around. Philip ends up in Samaria. And there he's actually confronted by Simon the sorcerer, who wants to pay him to be able to also impart the Holy Spirit on others. He's like, hey, teach me the trick. Show me what this is so that I can also send, you know, so that I can also pray for people and they can receive the Holy Spirit. This is one of the reasons that we link signs, including the sign of speaking in tongues, to the gift of the Holy Spirit, is because if it was just let me lay hands on people so that they can feel good, that's probably not worth a lot to Simon the sorcerer. But because there was outward signs, there was evidence associated with the Holy Spirit, that was what he wanted to try and earn. And so again, then the Samaritans, Acts 8:14-17, the Samaritans who had been previously baptized in the name of Jesus, they received the Holy Spirit when Peter and John pray for them and lay their hands on them. Acts chapter 9, Ananias lays his hands on Saul so that he might regain his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, while Peter is speaking to the household of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit falls on all who've heard the message even before they have hands laid on them. And that's evidenced by speaking in tongues. Tiffany, did you see that she came in? Acts chapter 13, Saul, who's also called Paul, is filled with the Holy Spirit and confronts a sorcerer who's trying to distract from what God is doing. Acts chapter 13, verse 52 tells us that the disciples were filled again. So they were filled in Acts 2, they were filled in Acts 4, they were filled in Acts 8. In Acts 13, they're filled again with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy, it says this time, and the Holy Spirit. And this is during another time, now in Ephesus, where they are experiencing persecution and hardship, but the Bible tells us that they're filled with joy during that time. Acts chapter 19, when Paul places hands on the disciples, the Holy Spirit comes on them again. They speak in tongues. They prophesy. God is working through them. And so all of these things show us that the gift of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, is meant to be something that we're continually experiencing, meant to be something that we are working out. And so if I think about both their experience and then my experience with the Spirit of God, I would say that being Spirit-filled isn't a single moment, but instead it's a daily ongoing surrender to the power of God. This is something that we're working out daily. God wants us to be always conscious of His Spirit, always listening, always having a conversation with Him so that we can be led by His Spirit. Some of the marks of the Spirit-filled life are the courage to speak truth about Jesus, even in intimidating or uncomfortable conversations, like we saw Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 8. But even more than that, it's this constant life on mission, this constant life of trying to take this thing that God has implanted in us and trying to give it away to other people, to say, God, I want others to experience the filling and the things that God has given to me. In addition to that, Romans 15 says that we will experience overflowing hope, joy, and peace in the midst of challenges. In Acts 13, we saw that they were filled with joy even in the midst of persecution. In John 7, says that we will have rivers of living water flow out of us. It's meant to be an overflow of who we are. Isaiah 11 says that the Spirit fills us with wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And if you think about that, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, I mean, if you just imagine somebody that's never flustered by the things that are happening in life, that is experiencing, compassion, empathy, joy, all of these things. I mean, I can't imagine a better description of what an abundant life would be than to be living constantly in all of those things. It's not about wealth. It's not about power. It's not about signs and wonders. But if I just knew that I could always be experiencing and giving out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, I think that is the abundant life that God has for us. Ephesians 3 tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now to him, it says, who is able to do immeasurably more, to him be the glory in Christ Jesus. And that ultimately is our goal, is that we would be able to give glory back to him, that we would be able to take what God has given us and we would be able to reflect it back to him, that all of the crowns, all of the things that we earn in this life are just opportunities for us to be able to worship him in eternity, to be able to lay down those crowns, to be able to show God, to be able to give that back to him, because he's the one that's worthy. He's the one that is deserving of our praise. And then John 10:10, I already mentioned, but Jesus came to give us life and to have it to the full. And so just imagine again what it would be like to live in this overflow, to live a life where our daily routine is transformed into a mission field, where everywhere we go, we're constantly conscious of who God is and what God is speaking to us, where we're being led by him, where we're encountering people and able to share with them the gifts that we've been given and the things that God has placed inside of us. I think that what God wants from us today, and we're going to, wrap, we'll give a chance for a question and answer time, but also I would love to just kind of have everybody, or, as many as want to, kind of share how this is working in their life. Sometimes where they see the Spirit of God at work, sometimes where they hear God or they have heard God and they've been able to respond to him, because I think that it'll just encourage all of us to say, this isn't about a pastor. This isn't about the person that gets to spend, 8 hours a day in prayer. It's not, but again, I just keep coming back to this idea that this should be normative. This should be the normal, we see it in Acts, we see it in the New Testament, how normal people are filled with the Spirit of God. You've got fishermen, you've got tax collectors, you've got all of these people that are filled with the Spirit of God that weren't exceptional. I guess Paul was probably the most exceptional among them, and he would consider himself the least of all of the apostles. He's like, my life is nothing compared to what I have now. Everything that I experienced before, he says, is dung compared to what I have now. And so I want to take time tonight to be able to pray for each of us and just to go around and again pray that we would be filled again with the Spirit of God, that God's Spirit would rest upon us and that we would learn what it means to walk in the Spirit of God day in and day out. So I'm gonna pray right now. We'll kind of close and then let's just take some time to just encourage each other with some of the ways that we see the Spirit of God working in our lives. So Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had, God, during these 6 weeks, Lord, to learn about your Spirit, God. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would bring us back to this point where daily we are walking with you, where every moment, God, we are experiencing and we are in connection with your Holy Spirit, God, where we are finding in you, God, the guidance, the counsel, God, where you are showing us the right way, God, and God, where you even interrupt our daily routines, God, with new things from your Spirit, God, because we believe that Lord, this is not an exceptional thing, but God, this is called to be the life of the Spirit of God, the people of God, and the presence of God. And God, you've called us to be that. And so God, we are just so grateful for your Holy Spirit that goes with us, that empowers us and equips us, God. God, I pray that Lord, you would just continue to guide us in these next few minutes, God, in Jesus' name, amen.